Norwich has a long and, some may say, proud tradition of riot and rebellion. From the Peasants' Revolt of 1381 to Kett's Rebellion in the 16th century, Norwich has been quick to rise when trodden upon. One September weekend in 1766, the citizens of Norwich did so again. On Sunday, September the 28th, 1766, the fine city of Norwich seemed not so fine to baker Richard Lubbock. While Mr. Lubbock was away from his home, his house was ransacked by a mob of angry, armed men. Many of Lubbock's belongings were taken away and furniture thrown out of windows. "God damn my soul," one of the rioters called out, "if I don't pull up all the stones in the street and drink blood." Luckily for Lubbock, the sheriff came to his rescue. With his men, the sheriff dispersed the group and arrested some of the ringleaders, who were sent to Norwich Castle to await trial. One of the group, Edward Potter, managed to flee the scene and was chased through the streets of Norwich and was eventually pinned to the ground and arrested. Richard Lubbock was just one of many to suffer from the violence and anger of the rioters. But why was he targeted? Had he personally wronged these men? Or was he and his property a symbol of something they wished to destroy? And what had caused these men to tip over into violence? The outbreak of rioting about the price of grain and food shortages was a relatively common occurrence in 18th century England. Whether caused by a poor harvest, greedy marketeers or miserly bakers, local people would often riot, targeting those who they felt were at fault. The riots in Norwich were part of a series of hunger riots over England in 1766. The day before the attack on Richard Lubbock's house, a man named Robert Lighting was seen entering Norwich Market from Weaver's Lane late in the morning. This may seem innocuous, but Lighting was blowing a horn and was followed by a great number of persons as a call to arms. Shortly afterwards, chaos descended on the market. Rioters ran through the stalls, stealing the market's provisions and throwing them around. On a rampage, the rioters destroyed the mill at New Mills Yard, as well as a malt house and granary in Carrow, and with it stores of barley and malt. A fine example of mindless destruction. The violence continued, seemingly insatiable. Later that evening, a group of more than 20 people, armed with rudimentary weapons, went to attack the property of Edward Budge. Budge successfully deterred the mob from further damaging his house by prevailing upon them to go to the White Horse Ale House across the road, telling them to have whatever they wanted, which he promised to pay for. Therefore, in true Norwich fashion, the rioters headed off to the alehouse for the evening, along with Budge's servant. Yet a pint did not quench their thirst for violence and destruction. Indeed, they proceeded to tear down the alehouse itself. The following day, the rioters continued on their path of destruction, attacking not only Richard Lubbock's house, but those of two other bakers, William Money and Robert Elwin. When some rioters began to run out of steam and drift away, a man named William Young loudly blew a horn, reinvigorating the riotous spirit in them so they could finish the job they set out to do. The 1766 Norwich bread riots eventually petered out. The people of Norwich, hungry and angry, had risen, shown their power, and returned home. Albeit briefly for several arrests were made and charges brought for breaking and entering, feloniously, willfully and maliciously destroying property, and theft, and they were held in prison as punishment. Whether this dissuaded others from rioting in the future would have to be seen.